Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and the Gifted Whisperer Show. I am your host once again. It is Wednesday here, Colorado time. Wednesday and snowy and cold, or the day after our snowstorm at least. We've had some mild weather here in Colorado until yesterday. Now I have a foot of snow on my driveway. That'll make sure no one else moves here now that they've moved. Again, my name is Marlene Prinzing. I am your host. The show used to be called The Prinzing Show, but because people thought I was saying The Printing Show, I decided not to say it anymore. But my name is still the same. It's Prinzing, P-R-I-N, like Peter Pan, P-R-I-N-Z, Z, like zebra, not T, like whatever, I-N-G. That's just side note for everybody. I am also the inventor and CEO of the Prinzing Method, which is just a sort of a simplified body psychology somatic processing method that I developed over the last 25 years working with clients. And I do most of my work here out of my home studio in Superior, Colorado, in Boulder County, for anyone listening in the United States. But I've also had guests on the show from Canada and all throughout the United States. And today, Wednesday, the 16th, December 16th, is even more exciting. I have a guest from the UK. I think our time difference here is about 5 hours. But it's so fun to be able to connect with people all over the world through what I call the box. I call the computer the box. I don't know what other people call it these days. But I'm also calling the guest that I'm having today my sort of kindred spirit, of whom I've never met until a moment from now when we will all meet her. Her name is Amanda Hart, H-A-R-T. Yet something tells me that she has a big heart, like H-E-A-R-T. Maybe I could give her a gifted whisper reading before she comes on the air and tell her to change her last name. But perhaps not, because she's going to be famous, is my guess, because she has just written this fabulous book that's out. The title of her book is The Guys Upstairs. And I call Amanda sort of my kindred spirit soul sister, even though I haven't met her, because it seems as though we may be around the same age and we've come from a very similar background, a background of, I'm going to say just generically, of dysfunction, growing up, a dysfunction that then what do you do with that dysfunction? Well, interestingly enough, Amanda has written a book about it, and I am also writing a book about mine, and our stories are so similar, it's uncanny. But I will also open up, as we always do, now that you know the background of a little bit myself and my guest, if anybody has a question. We both have an intuitive sense. The Blog Talk number here to call in if you're listening live is 347-857-1742. And that's if you have questions for either myself or my guest, of which I will call into the show here in about 30 seconds. I want to give you a few more tidbits on the connection she and I have without meeting each other. This is going to be a great show. Amanda says that her approach is grounded, yet perhaps radical, but I would say wonderfully effective. And I've used the word radical before in the show in a negative connotation, but this is, of course, in a positive connotation, in kind of a no-nonsense, get some things done. We'll let her talk for herself in a minute. I'll say we've been through crap and we don't want anyone else to get caught in the trap. That's my most recent blog. So let's call in Amanda, talk about her book. And if you have questions about her book or questions for either herself or me, please do call in. Again, if you miss calling in, the show will be streamed and it will be archived both on Blog Talk, apparently in the UK, because Amanda will blog it, or whatever you do. I made up that, it doesn't make sense, but I'm the one who also calls the computer the box, so don't listen to me. Okay, so welcome to the show, Amanda. Are you there?
Yeah, hi, I'm here, Marlene.
There you go. So you do have a kind of an accent like the Blog Talk lady does.
Yeah, I mean, it's really strange when you speak to people for the first time because you wonder what they're going to sound like. But yeah, here I am.
Right, and you do. So, how great is that?
Yeah, and it's lovely because it's as you say, it's a bit spooky because we both have very similar backgrounds. So it wasn't until this morning when I read up on some of the story behind you that I realized, oh my gosh, I realized why I'm on the show.
That's what I said. That's what I said, too, because I was going to cancel my show as of December about having other guests, and I was turning into a new format of having co-hosts and call-ins instead of guests.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I was like, I am drawn to finish this last show with you, and I had the same reaction. I didn't know why until yesterday when I read your information of where you had come from and that you had already written the book. I'm in the process of writing the book, and I can't wait to hear about the book since you and I know that we have a similar background. So tell us, since I don't know and the listeners may not, since it's so new, give us some tidbits about the book.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think I realize why I'm on the show, and I think that that's to endorse that your message, your book is very important. So I think that that's perhaps why you're coming to this conclusion with the show with this last guest to honor that. The book itself was something that took me about 5 years to put together. Originally, I wrote it to help people to understand really why I do what I do, because I do, as you say, I do something that's a little bit radical, but it's very grounded and it's done with subtlety and grace. But because it's so unique, I think people didn't get it. They didn't really understand because it's not something you read or you learn or you study. It's something that you experience, and I think you get this because you and I both had that upbringing where there was two things I think that really helped us, and that was, one, we had to go within for our answers because there was no one else we could rely on. And the second thing is, I think you must have grown up in a place where you relied on the outdoors. You know, nature became your friend, and I think that that was something that really served me, and because of that, that opens your intuitive faculty up.
Mm.
Would you say that?
Well, mine's a tad bit different, but I agree on the prospect. The very first thing is if you grow up in a family that is dysfunctional and sort of unaware, I would say, you definitely have nowhere to go except you have two choices. I have a brother. You either do what he did, which is he kind of is a recluse. He's kind of in seclusion. He has an unlisted phone number, doesn't want to be contacted. I haven't talked to him in 25 years. And so you have two choices. You either follow that route of caving in a sense, or you do. You self-reference and go within and start asking yourself questions. Oh, my God, that's what I did. I was 4 years old, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is weird. The second part that you said about nature, mine was through dance. I kind of went within through movement and dance. But it did the same thing, though. It did the same thing
as
heightening your sense of self and intuition.
Absolutely. And that's that side part of the brain, because I do talk about this quite a bit in the book. And I teach this in my classes because your intuitive faculties all resonate really in the right hemisphere of the brain. So when you do things like dance or you spend time in nature, both hemispheres are open. So then you tune in to all your inner senses and you can get your intuitive thoughts and your guidance. So yes, you would have been honing that, you know, throughout your childhood. So incredible, and that all paves your way for what you're going to, you know, how you transform all this process in the future.
Right.
So that's really what the book is about. It's it was to explain to people that actually I'm not airy fairy. I'm very grounded, but I do talk about stuff that comes from a higher plane because it was my experiences and I can't get away from that. And I was a very skeptical person and I explain it in the book. I didn't believe in all these things, so I struggled with it. And I write it in such a way that people will really get that, because when people have sort of put up their hand and said, no, I'm getting something, but I don't believe it, and then they block it, it makes them start to think, I get this. Perhaps I blocked something before, and it gives them another opportunity to dig a bit deeper. And that's what I'm hoping to achieve with this book.
Oh, wow, that's great. I love that because there's so many factors that would stop someone, societal.
Oh, absolutely.
Right there, I bet you've talked about that. So many you think you're going crazy, or right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It didn't matter to me because I didn't have a speaking of the word grounded, I didn't have a grounded place anywhere.
No.
So if I was getting messages and information that other people weren't, I think two things happened. I thought everyone else was getting these messages. I was 4 years old. I didn't know. But the other thing is it didn't matter. My world was so crazy that for me to get insights that seemed a little, I don't know, odd or different or something, it weren't odd to me at all because my family of origin was so odd.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think that's it, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I really get that.
Yeah.
But as I say, I think that eventually you sort of look at other children around you and you realize eventually that they're not getting or they're not receiving information like you are. And I think for me, I don't know about you, but I did close it down as I got older. And it was only through desperation as an adult because I kept attracting negative programming all the time because of the childhood. That was when I really had no choice. I thought, well, I've got to find out what is going on, and I had to dig a bit deeper. And then it started to remind me of what my experiences as a child. So I started to draw on that. I think that was because there was no one else I could really rely on. But I knew that I couldn't have imagined those things as a child, and that's what really started getting me to pull everything to pieces to really examine the truth of what was going on.
Right.
But it was
a
long process, Marlene. It was not an easy one by any means.
Yeah.
So that's why I wrote the book. And I think I think I get why you're writing yours, because I think you have to. It's a process, isn't it?
It is. It's so in the timing of you just finishing your book and me really at the beginning of it is interesting as well, because you use the word have to, and I felt like if I was closing anything down over my lifetime, it was telling people my story. I would never lead with that. Everyone thought I came from this perfect family, and finally I was just like, okay, I can't present myself in the world as somebody that came from a Beaver Cleaver upbringing and everything is fine, because it's not.
No.
So, it was definitely.
And it's interesting. Yeah, and I think also the fact that, I don't know about you, but 5 years ago, I mean, we still were very much, I suppose, enthralled by the media and how it presented us as people, and everything is changing very much so now. Now we're not so bothered about, people that we once looked at and adored. We're looking at ordinary, everyday people who are making a difference and who are more inspiring. So you're looking at sort of autobiographies and biographies that are not so much about celebrities. It's more about real people who are making a difference or have overcome challenges. And I think that's very much about the way astrologically everything is changing. We're going through a huge awakening anyway, but this is becoming more mainstream. So it's about these real stories of people who have this deeper connection, because that's what is necessary. It's the only way we're really ever going to make a difference if people really start to dig deeper.
And that's
been quite apparent over the last year or so.
Right, as far as the collective consciousness kind of theory, is that what you're speaking about?
Well, I think more so, I mean, that's been apparent for some time, but I think it's more accepted in the media now. The media are more likely to embrace this as more mainstream than before, where they thought it was a bit wacky and a bit sort of, tricky to tap into. And now that they're opening their mind to it, because you know, they've I think they've milked everything else so much, and we've gone down a route where voyeurism has become a little bit over milked or over egged. We keep on, you know, doing these reality shows, and I think people are getting fed up with it, and they're saying, well, let's have something that's real and something that we can really understand. And if you look at our ancestors, you know, everything was passed on through stories, but they were real stories.
So yeah.
Really, that's the innate part of us. That's that real part of us that connects as human beings when we hear real stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what's coming to the surface now. I'm hearing a lot of people wanting to tell their story, and all these little stories will eventually link, and then it will become the main. It will become the norm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I love that. So I've never traveled. Have you been to the United States before?
I have. I've been to New York, and I've been to a few other places, but very briefly. But it's funny because I keep, ever since this the campaign has started, and we've only had the book released a couple of weeks, I've been interviewed on a couple of radio shows in the U.S. and a TV satellite station, and I have a lot of contacts over, from your neck of the woods, because social media now allows us to connect with people worldwide. So we've got a huge following, and I feel we're going to come over to the States anyway, and connect with a lot of people over there. In fact, we have a doctor over there, Dr. Dolores Vizzino. She's a doctor who has endorsed my book, and she wants to help raise awareness about the fear that's brought into the medical industry, and we have that here, and I know you have that in the States. So it's about you, how people embrace their energy, not just their physical body, when they're actually going to deal with their health issues. So I feel that we'll be coming over soon.
Okay. Well, that's why I asked the question. Is I've had a life in such that I've never gone anywhere, and people seem to come to me, which is fine. I like it that way, but I don't have an experiential-ness about the UK, and so I wanted to ask you, because if you've been here, you at least have a little bit bigger bridge than I do about what you just said about this becoming the norm, about people wanting to hear real stories. Turning this into mainstream, and even the medical kind of perceptive value, are we on the same page as far as timeline, or is one of us ahead of the other?
Yeah, well, the U.S. is definitely ahead of the U.K. I think it's the way we're brought up here in the U.K. with our education and the way that our parents were. We're not as open. So I've found that I've been embraced more so by the US connections than here in the UK. But saying that, it is catching up. So I think that naturally will follow suit, because we always do in the UK. We always follow you guys. So it will happen.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that you are going to follow us, and yet I'm sort of following you as far as writing the book, because you beat me to the punchline, so to speak. But the
story started at the beginning. I mean, I don't know how old you are. I'm 49. I'm 49 in January. So are we about the same age? I'm not sure.
Yes. I knew we were. I'm 51.
Oh, right. Okay. So our story began at the same time. You know, I always feel that what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, what came first, our life or our story? So I think the story was inevitable, and then we just filled in the pieces of the jigsaw. So you were writing this story as you were going along. You just got to put pen to paper to actually record it now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. It's as if I've had all the chapters written forever.
Absolutely, and you just got to work out which order they go in.
Exactly, and you know, the biggest thing for me, and I'm a writer, but I've never written a book. I have written, my thesis, which is maybe the closest to a book, but I am very much a writer like you as well. And the one thing I think that stopped me, and tell me how you've written yours, I think you might have taken the same road, is I couldn't write it in the first person, and I don't know if that's you're supposed to or what.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no way. I could not even, I could not get the words to the paper because it was too triggering. I would get, it would be, right? It would be too personal. So I wrote it as if someone else wrote it about me. And then it started to flow. Now, what is your experience?
Well, that's really interesting. Well, I had to move counties. So I had to move to an area where I felt I was safe. And then I plunged myself really into a lot of experiences that reconnected with all those fears again. And I did exactly the same. I wrote it in the third person. Once I write what's called the bones of it. So I just got it all down on paper. And then once I'd done that, I started to edit it over and over until it went to an editor. And then she told me off and said, nope, it's got to be in the first person. And when she translated it, it was almost as if she gave me permission to be able to put it back into the format that it should have been. So I think that's okay.
Oh.
If you have to do it, because it's too, it is, reading it back again. I mean, I've read it 6 or 7 times, maybe more with all the edits, but each time you're experiencing it, and I know you've overcome the trauma, but it doesn't take away the residue. The memory's still there. And you are so connected to it, it cannot not touch you. So I think the only way you can really truly do it to disconnect at that level and to get it down is to do it in the third person, and then later on you can have it translated back again.
Huh, nice.
Does that make
sense? I like that.
Yeah?
I think that's a great story for the listeners, not just in writing a book, but in sort of processing your own things and being aware of your own things, that sometimes it is too what we call charged or triggering or too big in a sense to experience it from the self. If you could step outside the self in writing, maybe the third person, and other people it might be the witness quality. So I think that I love what you just said there, because I think that's what held me back from writing it, is I'd say and then I get so mad there'd be a hole in the paper.
Yeah, I get that. But you have to do this with your clients, because when we see clients, you hear them, then they're caught up in their drama. And when you ask them to stand back as if they are observing it, it's almost like they're giving themselves permission to actually empathize but not sympathize and get involved in it. And that's suddenly when they realize their power, because we only get caught involved in it because of the drama. When we step back from it, it gives us power.
Yes.
So I think that this is this is where you come from, a place of power, to write it in the third person, because you can observe it as your best friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're right. That is what I do with clients, and of course not on purpose. Not on purpose initially. Later on, I could figure out what was working. But we have a really interesting name for what you just described. In working with clients, and in my field, I'm calling it in somatic psychology field. The easy name is, I call it, I'm the witness of being the good parent. But
that's
even in the scientific world, for people who can appreciate this, because it's very true, we call it that I'm acting as your psychobiological regulator.
Absolutely.
So I step,
fantastic.
Right? Because the client would need a regulator or something to regulate, because they can't regulate within. So then I step back and can be that regulator but not get involved and still be the witness.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. People don't understand. When you work intuitively, that's exactly what you do. You just step in as that role. And and they get it afterwards. It all sort of makes sense to them, but they don't understand why they can't get it themselves. But then you and I, we would have gone through all of that anyway ourselves. We didn't understand at one point. Why don't we get it? Why is this happening to us? It's only until you find your power that you actually understand how to disconnect and be be the observer.
Right.
Yeah, which we all have the power
to
do. It's just, it needs to be taught, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. Yes. So let's tell
people.
They
don't teach this at school, do they?
No, I know. Yeah, I know. I think there's speaking of school, I think there's a class missing in school, I would say, in high school, maybe early college. Something that I'm teaching is called Discover Your Dharma, Find Your Life Purpose. Dharma
fantastic.
Being the Sanskrit word. Yeah, yes. And I do think that's missing, and that is a
absolutely.
Gap.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a little
segue
of that.
And we all have
that,
a life purpose, and that's it. And, you know, it's, you know, where is that on the curriculum? So, and that's
exactly.
basically what happens. We look after the people that come back to us years later in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and ask what their life purpose is. If they taught it at school, they wouldn't they wouldn't have wasted their life looking for it and then have to find someone else to help them with that.
I know.
And this is what this is about. We're helping them, and that's what our books are about. It's helping them with
okay.
the shortcut. Let's get this,
uh-huh.
you know, at that education stage.
Yes, yes.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I'll give one more fact on this, and then I want to make sure we give the listeners verbally all the info of how to contact you. But one
yes,
more
you.
Segue on this about what is missing and kind of the world in a global way is there is a
mm-hmm.
current fact that says 80% of the people hate their jobs and only 20% like them. And why is that?
Mm.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Right? I also have another, I'm doing some crowdfunding even now, and I'm calling it Stop Radicalization Through Education. And what I'm doing is teaching exactly what we're talking about. I'm teaching people to be their authentic self and to find their life purpose so that
Excellent.
My goal in my mind is that this 80-20 flips and that all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
one day we have 80% of the people who love their job. Can you imagine what
yes.
that would do to the world?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It'd flip it on its side, wouldn't it?
Right, right. I mean, I couldn't believe when I heard that was true.
Mm.
And I'm like, no wonder everybody gets a heart attack at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, which is the medical statistic for the United States.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Can you believe it?
And the thing is that we just carry on doing the same stuff. We keep doing the same old stuff, and we keep getting the same results. You know, and that's exactly what you're saying. There is a way of changing all of this, but we can't pick them off one at a time. We can do this on a mass scale if it was taught through education, and it's exactly
uh-huh.
what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And that would help.
So
that would
right
might all the wrongs in the world, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. So maybe you and I will write this from what I call the box.
I think, yeah, that's exactly it. That's what we should do. Should unite forces.
We might just do that. Yes, there's one
absolutely.
More saying I have to say, but then I still want to get the listeners, but I keep it. This is so fun. We're having such a good time. The other saying, which is wonderful about what you just said, is when two like minds come together with a similar purpose and intent and desire, that then there is created a third and visible mind, which then
mm-hmm.
magnifies the cause of the two that were originally there.
Mm, absolutely,
And that wasn't mine. I stole that. I stole it from Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, beautiful. But that's why I love working in group dynamics, because you see so much more happen. Because
yes.
of that statement, it is so true.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
why a lot of light workers are all meeting their soulmates, because those, you know, those two flames coming together, you know, the light is
uh-huh.
brighter. You know, this
yes.
is what this is all about. It's absolutely incredible.
Yes. It is.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we have a minute and a half. So let's have you give the listeners your website and some contact information.
Yes, sure. Well, our website is www.thesoulsearchingcenter.com, and you can find all the information on there about our book. We've also got on the blog page, there's a campaign which is to help people overcome adversity. So we're doing a nationwide campaign in the UK at the moment, but we're hoping that this is going to go out globally, because we're already getting a lot of people interested. And my email address, contact details are all on the website, so any information, they can contact me personally. All right?
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay.
Well, the Blog Talk Lady says we have 60 seconds, so I want to thank you for being on the show. And I'll connect with you in another way, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a great pleasure. And thank you for inviting me on the show, Marlene. It's been lovely.
Yes. Wonderful.
And
thank
good luck
you.
With
Goodbye.
Your book. And I really, you've got to let me know when you've finished it.
Well, yes, I'll be contacting you for sure. Thank
well,
you.
Well, best of luck with it. Okay, you're most
okay.
welcome. All
okay.
right, you take care.
Goodbye.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye for now. Bye.
Okay, we have 20 seconds left to just thank Blog Talk for giving me this platform. You know where to contact me. It is giftedwhisperer.com. You can also join me on Facebook or LinkedIn. I have Gifted Whisperers group. So contact me or contact Amanda if you want to help us change the world, one little person at a time. Thanks for joining us.